After two listening sessions, what do community members want to see happen with the State Farm building downtown?
People can see each other's arguments for or against city intervention to save the building.
That's Bloomington City Councilmember Jen Carrillo. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for GLT's The Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are also willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.
It's Friday, August 9th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Let's lead off with the Bloomington City Council members' attempts to gauge public feedback on State Farm's plans to demolish its former downtown headquarters. More from WGLT's Eric Stock.
Bloomington residents remain divided over what role the city should play in trying to save the 90-year-old building. According to feedback, the City Council member Jen Carrillo says she received during two listening sessions and community surveys over the last week.
That was a thing that I kind of already felt in my gut, and I think that these listening sessions have confirmed that people have strong feelings, but also on the plus side, people can see each other's argument for or against city intervention to save the building.
About 50 residents weighed in between the two meetings. Carrillo says public feedback generally runs the spectrum from the city trying to take over the building to letting State Farm handle its own property as it wishes. Carrillo says she plans to present her survey findings to the City Council later this month, and she hopes State Farm will at least listen to what the community wants.
They hopefully are going to continue to be a part of our community for a long time. But I also don't have an expectation. I don't have an expectation that they will. I think that we have to be able to appeal to their bottom line, which is probably ultimately what they're most concerned about.
A coalition of downtown businesses, residents, and other stakeholders has launched an effort to save the building, but the group hasn't yet announced specific plans. Carrillo says while she would like to see the building saved, she doesn't yet have a specific vision for what it could become if it were repurposed.
I know that it is an important, a super important cultural landmark, and to lose it would be absolutely devastating. And at the same time, I have to be a good steward of taxpayer dollars and make the best decision based on that responsibility.
City officials met with State Farm last week. A State Farm spokesperson said after the meeting, the company plans to proceed with demolition, but the company remains open to conversation with the city. For The Leadoff, I'm Eric Stock.
And here are some of the other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has declared an agricultural disaster in all 102 Illinois counties, citing historic flooding across the state this year. That declaration will allow farmers that experienced extreme delays in spring planting to access federal funds to aid the recovery efforts. Several Illinois politicians don't think that President Trump should release former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich from prison early, as he's been hinting. Blagojevich is about halfway through a 14-year prison sentence in federal prison in Colorado. The Ecology Action Center says McLean County's recycling rate has increased for the third year in a row. Newly released data show 2018's recycling rate jumped 5 percentage points to 46.4%. Find those stories and more at WGLT.org. Data from the Illinois Department of Public Health show that McLean County has the lowest rate of sexually transmitted diseases among its similar counterparts in central Illinois. In this Sound Ideas preview, WGLT's Mary Cullen speaks with the director of the Illinois Department of Public Health, Dr. Ngaze Azike, about how low STD rates doesn't necessarily mean less infected people.
STDs are very common. It's one of our most prevalent infections of all possible infections, affects people of all ages, across all socioeconomic status, all racial and ethnic groups, so very, very prevalent.
The Illinois Department of Public Health tracks cases of chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis. But first, I want us to look at the first two, so chlamydia and gonorrhea. McLean County, in particular, appears to have a significantly lower STD rates of chlamydia and gonorrhea per capita than its relatable counties in Champaign, Peoria, and Sangamon. Is there any reasoning for that?
It's pretty hard to pinpoint the specific factor that would cause one STI to be slightly elevated versus another. Obviously, all of these infections are transmitted in similar manners. It's the same type of activities that will result in infection. And so it's a little bit difficult to say why one factor that may be the cause for the elevation.
So looking deeper into McLean County's numbers specifically, there's a noticeable spike in chlamydia rates between 2011 and 2012. Is there a reason why that spike is there?
It could be that there was an intensive effort for testing, and that more aggressive testing resulted in the identification of more cases. Again, it would be hard to speculate much further than that.
Right. Now, you bring up an interesting point in the testing. In order to get an STD rate for a county, people need to go in and get tested for STDs. Is it required? How often do people have to get tested?
So there is no requirement to get testing, and that is an important point. People on their own volition will agree to be tested. Of course, a lot of that might be driven by your provider. If your provider offers it and you accept it, or if your provider makes it a part of routine testing, the way they might check blood work for elevated, you know, potassium or sodium. If they were also just checking for STIs, you would have more people getting tested and you might identify more cases. If it's something that's never brought up, it may be less likely that someone would request it on their own, especially in the absence of symptoms. And so then you might have falsely depressed levels detected.
More of this conversation with the director of the Illinois Department of Public Health, Dr. Ngozi Ezike, can be heard at noon and 6 p.m. today on Sound Ideas. Before we let you go, Cultural Fest is tomorrow at Miller Park. Performances start at 11 and run till 6. There'll be a kids' zone with a bounce house and face painting and other fun activities that runs from 11 to 4. Thanks for listening to The Leadoff. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are also willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.